Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly.
And I am your co-host, Austin.
And today's episode is going to be a little bit different. We are shifting gears a little bit, but let me tell you, if you are a parent, you're going to want to listen to this episode. And if you have a kid with a smartphone, you may want them to listen to this as well, but I will let you decide that for yourself. So a few months ago, I wrote a Facebook post about how discouraging it can be as a parent today, especially when so many kids have phones and no limits on how they use them. Our oldest kids are 11 and 12 years old, and nearly all of their friends already have phones. And on those phones, they are on everything. They're texting nonstop. They're on Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, Roblox, you name it. At our house, we do have a phone. It's technically an iPhone, but it's a home phone. The kids can use it if we are gone and they need to reach us, or if they're out with friends and might need a ride or something, but otherwise their use on it is very limited.
We just call it the kid's phone, and it's got like our shared phone that we limit.
Yep. And we keep it in our room. So they have to ask if they want to use it. They have to ask if they want to check up on the texts or whatever.
Because I don't want the kids texting at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
You know, or free for all with the phone at 9 o'clock.
Exactly. There's no social media on the phone. There's no games. It's literally just texting, and it has the capability to like FaceTime with their friends within reason, though. We do have limits. But just yesterday, in the span of like 2 hours, one of the group texts had over 200 messages in it. And there was another time that I opened up the phone and there was 400 plus. Yeah, nearly 500. I think it was like 490 something messages. And it was the other day when I looked, it was just drama. It was girls fighting.
Things that don't even make sense. It's all just nonsense.
Yes.
And a lot of times they're just spamming. Like kids will send like 75 texts of emojis. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes to the whole thing of kids have no regulation. Like they don't have the ability to regulate. They don't know what's socially acceptable in texting. They don't understand it's like a real conversation in person. Mm-hmm. And then not to mention when it comes to bullying or things like that, they're a keyboard warrior. They say things they would never say in real person.
Exactly. So when I posted about it, I admitted how hard it can be sometimes being the uncool mom, the one who says no when everyone else is saying yes. And my kids feel left out sometimes. And I get it. They're like, so-and-so has Snapchat. So-and-so has this. So-and-so has a phone. They're on TikTok. But what surprised me most were all of the moms who commented on the post saying, I'm an uncool mom too. I won't give our kids a phone. And they're vocal about it.
And it felt surprising because there's so many people in their grade. The majority of kids have no regulation of it. It's just, here's your phone. It's so insane. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but it's literally like you're taking a phone, you're giving it to a kid, and you're saying, here's a phone. And on it, you can access the internet and porn and bullying and everything. You can access everything
harmful
in the
content.
World, harmful content. And here it is, and have it and be good with it. It's insane.
Yeah. And so when all of this went down, that is when this idea kind of started forming for me. So Austin can tell you, I had this like sort of like a midlife crisis moment where I just was like, what is the purpose of this podcast if I'm not somehow helping people beyond just telling stories and giving a voice to victims? I want to do more than that. And when I tell stories on this podcast, the ones that typically bring tears to my face are the ones that involve children. And it absolutely breaks my heart when I hear about these innocent children being exposed to the horrors of the world and the horrors of evil people. It wasn't actually that long ago that it was local. There was a girl from our school district who went missing from a football game because she hooked up with a guy that she met online he drove her up from Missouri up to like Idaho. Mm-hmm. And she was finally found. She was found safe. Thank God. I think she was even like with a sibling or a relative. But too often I tell stories on here that don't end with a happy ending like that. And so I also tell my kids all the time, don't just be a problem identifier, be a problem solver. Once you identify the problem, the next step should be to think of ways to solve it. So that is what this is. Today, I am announcing a new project called the Uncool Collective. And the Uncool Collective is a movement to inform parents about the dangers of social media and build a supportive community of moms and dads who share one goal, which is to protect childhood. There is no internet built just for kids. They are being exposed to disturbing, damaging, and even dangerous content, and it's happening younger and younger. And I know it's easy to think, oh, it's not my kid. It couldn't be my kid, but...
Well, the internet, like, so we've had this conversation lots. The internet is built for everyone. There's no, oh, this is the preteen section of the internet, and this is the teenager section of the internet, and here's the adult section of the internet. So in our case, our kids come over and their friends literally, like, this blows my mind. And again, I'm really not judging. Like, you do whatever you want. I'm just saying, it's my own personal opinion. It blows my mind that 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds come over and they're on their phone with Snapchat and with TikTok. And like the other day, kid came over on their phone on Snapchat, Snapchatting with someone random who's calling them, who's got them added on Snapchat from this 10-year-old's TikTok, who they were calling asking where he's from. Where are you from? Where are you from? And then finally goes, oh, I just figured it out because I have your TikTok name too. And like, it's insane.
And the scary thing is that when I talk to parents, a lot of them admit that they don't know how to like maneuver Snapchat. And so they don't know how to change parental controls on there. They don't know how to see what their kids, they don't know what their kids are doing. They don't, they don't know the ins and outs of these apps.
And they're not, again, they're not on an internet that's built for the kids. They're not on the Snapchat that's built for the kids. They're on these platforms that it's a melting pot for all of the weirdos of the internet and all the normal people and all the young kids. And
the innocent kids.
They're just all on here. And it's like, I used to just think, you kind of helped me realize this. I used to just think of it as like kids getting sexually targeted, or, and when I say sexually targeted, either like pedophilia or just like seeing stuff that they shouldn't see, you know, or seeing things at an age where it's like, that's going to scar them. But it's more than that. It's the bullying. It's the kidnapping. It's the, I saw a lady who did a project where she set up a Snapchat account as a 14-year-old and was like engaging. I think it was with her kids or something. She was like testing. It's like a test. Okay. And so then here recently she said, okay, so I'm getting on this Snapchat account as a 14-year-old and we've been working with this account for like a month and a half and I want to show you what it was. And she starts scrolling like the For You on the Snapchat, and it was all this like validating, depressing stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was like dark, depressing content and like a reel, if you will. And it's like a reel, like POV, none of your friends will text you. You have this phone with 800 contacts and there's nobody in it. Life is sad. And it was scrolling to the next one and it was like talking about killing yourself. And it was scrolling to the next. And it's all this doomsday, dark, your life sucks, you're sad. And like, that's what they're consuming.
Yeah. Yep. You're absolutely right. So I actually did some research here and I'm going to share with you some statistics, some numbers. I like having numbers. So if you're that kind of person, then this is for you. But if you think that, you know, it's not your kid, couldn't be your kid, let me tell you something, okay? 95% of teens between the age of 13 and 17 are on social media.
95%.
40% of kids age 8 to 12 are also on social media, even though most platforms require users to be 13 or older. Among that group, 19% of 8-year-olds already have their own smartphone. That's nearly 1 in 4 kids 8 years old already have a smartphone. 53% of 11-year-olds have their own smartphone. 38% of kids who have their phones are using social media regularly. And those who do use it are far more likely to be exposed to distressing content, violent content, hate-based, or self-harm related. So the goal of the Uncool Collective is to take this data and turn it into action. We're not here to shame parents who allow devices. We're here to support parents who want to make intentional, informed choices. We're here to start conversations. We're here to share resources and remind each other that being uncool might just be the coolest thing we can do for our kids. And the kicker is that I think a lot of kids actually want regulation on social media.
They just don't know it.
Exactly. So 48% of teens say that social media platforms have a mostly negative effect on people their age. But 19% of these kids say social media hurt their mental health. 22% of them say social media hurt their grades. 45% say it hurt their amount of sleep. 40% say it hurt their productivity. And while 75% say that some of these platforms help them feel connected to their peers, 39% still say that they get overwhelmed by the drama on these platforms. And I want to point out the cognitive dissonance here, because nearly half of teens see the impact on others as negative, being only, it's like 48%, but only a small share, about 14%, see it on themselves. So that gap is a powerful talking point, because kids may not recognize the effects on themselves, but they see it in their peers. And it has to make you wonder, what are they struggling with inside that they either have not come to realize yet or can't talk about yet or whatever?
Yeah. And it also makes you wonder, okay, almost 50% of teenagers recognize it as negative. I would be really curious if you took all of the parents. Surely 80, 90% would recognize it as negative, yet we still let it happen.
Absolutely. But isn't it saying something that even the teens who are using it are admitting that it's negative? I mean, that should pack the most punch. That's your most credible data pool.
Yeah, no doubt.
So some examples of distressing content, if you are unaware, well, what we're talking about is graphic images and videos of self-harm. This includes cutting, razor blades, blood, intentionally inflicted wounds, and posts that are encouraging self-injury. These are things that are being shown to our kids via these algorithms.
And with that being said, real quick, that 14-year-old Snapchat thing I was telling you about, all of that stuff, was that, even though it wasn't direct, it was like very sad, provoking stuff. Mm-hmm. POV, you have 600 contacts in your phone and no text messages. Mm-hmm. And it's just like breeding this internal doubt, hate, sadness. Like, why?
It's almost like, aren't you lonely?
Yeah. Think about how lonely you are. Yeah. You're so lonely, aren't you? No one's calling you right now. Your phone's not ringing, is it? It's because you're a loser.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a loser. Scroll to the next one. Oh, you're a loser again. Mm-hmm. Why? I don't understand.
Yeah. The other thing that they're being exposed to are visuals and narratives that glorify or normalize disordered eating. So extreme body alteration, thinspiration content. And that goes back to when I was in high school, like living in the era of Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and Jessica Simpson being labeled as fat when she was like a size 6 and I was a size 6. Like that, unfortunately, has not changed. That is still being broadcast, but on even wider spectrum because it's in their hands. It's not just on TV screens or magazine covers. It's being broadcast in their faces 24/7 when they're on these phones.
And we went down this whole little spree of body positivity where you had people like, Lizzo? Mm-hmm. Who was a bigger girl and was like, no, I'm happy being a bigger girl.
I think that was Lizzo.
Yeah, guess what she did?
She went on Ozempic and lost a bunch of weight.
So I thought you were happy being bigger. And it's like this mixed messaging. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So there's also,
and these kids are at such an impressionable age.
Oh, I know.
Like 8, 9, 10, 11. Teenagers, you know, you're driving, you're 16. I still don't want our kids to have social media at 16. And maybe they get a phone because they're driving. I don't know, though. It's like, it's convenient. You know what? Use your parents' phone. Use a friend's phone. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. You'll find a phone, You'll find a ride home. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. You've got my number memorized.
Yeah.
So another thing that you touched on was cyberbullying. So cyberbullying, harassment, hate speech directed at young users or group, including body appearance, race, gender identity, sexuality. It's like these...
Your outfit, anything they can criticize you about.
Yeah. And it's these posts that are meant to basically ridicule or judge like a small group of people. But it's worded in such a way that it's like, it's a very extreme way of thinking. And all of this is driven by an algorithm. And if you don't know, your algorithm is essentially the code within the app that shows you what it thinks you want to see. So algorithm-driven exposure to violent or traumatic traumatic event footage. So like war scenes, stabbings, car crashes, death, even when it's not sought out, it's still popping up on their feeds because they might like something that has a branch to this other video. And so that then before you know it, they're seeing Charlie Kirk be assassinated. That is just one example of an extreme act of violence, gore, disturbing content, traumatic content that some kids are seeing because these websites or these platforms don't have the tools in place to regulate it immediately.
Because it's the internet and it's not built for kids.
Exactly.
And maybe your 14-year-old boy who has testosterone in his body sees an inappropriate picture of a chick and likes it and clicks on it. And guess what? Now he's getting fed pictures more and more and more. And it's a freaking complete gateway to porn. Like, let's be honest.
Oh, and we'll get to that because I have statistics on that too that are going to make you sick to your stomach. Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A.
And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
Have you ever felt like no matter how much you rest, you're still just running on empty? Fatigue, brain fog, even brittle nails, those can all be signs of iron deficiency. And here's the thing, iron deficiency is way more common than people realize. It affects about 1 in 3 adults, especially women, and traditional iron supplements usually don't cut it. They're hard to absorb, and they often leave you dealing with nausea, constipation, or a metallic-y taste. That's why I recommend Citerol from PharmaNutra. Citerol is a premium iron supplement made with patented sucrosomial technology, which basically wraps the iron in a protective shield so your body can absorb it 3 to 4 times better than standard iron. And the best part is it's gentle on the stomach. There's no nausea, no constipation, and no metallic taste. Citerol has been clinically studied, over 150 published studies, in fact, and it's trusted by more than 2 million people worldwide. It's Italy's number one supplement brand and is finally available here in the U.S. Just one capsule a day with water anytime, with or without food, and you're good to go. So if you're nodding along because you're exhausted, foggy, or just tired of feeling tired, this could be exactly what you've been missing. Head to pharmanutra-us.com and use the code MAMA, that's M-A-M-A, for 10% off your first order of Citerol. That's pharmanutra-us.com with the code MAMA, M-A-M-A, for 10% off today. So the other things I want to point out are content that exploits younger users' vulnerabilities. So there's these challenge videos that promote risk-taking, that glorify self-harm or normalize despair. We remember the Tide Pod challenge. There's also been other challenges, like where a boy was killed because he was on one of those spinny rides. And the challenge was to like hook up a motorcycle with the wheel attached to the spinny ride. And then if he revved the gas, it would cause the ride to go really fast. Well, it was going really fast and he fell off and he got so hurt that he was killed.
But he's doing it for the gram, probably. I'm not saying that one, but like these people do this stuff for the gram. They do it for attention.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so these children, like you mentioned, and teens are in critical development stages. Their self-image, emotional regulation, their peer identity, and brain wiring are all still forming. So exposure to these harmful messages can shape how they view themselves, their worth, and what is actually normal. Research shows that consuming self-harm or violent imagery increases risk of actual self-harm, suicidal ideation, and other mental health issues. Every piece of content can act like a node in a network. One distressing video or image, then the algorithm suggests more, and then the child's mood drops, and then the risk increases. So early intervention and boundary setting matter. And if you're listening to this and you still think your kid is probably safe on their smartphone and that these statistics don't apply to your kid, you've got the parental controls in place and you think you're doing everything you can. What if I told you that 98% of adolescents have been exposed to pornography, with the average age of first exposure being around 12 years old? 12 years old. One third of those kids were exposed to porn by age 10. 10 years old.
Not surprising at all.
The organization Enough is Enough reports that for tweens, so like younger children, 10, 11, 12, 58% of them experienced sexual content, nudity, or sexual acts online. They either didn't purposely seek it out, or it just like showed up on their feed, or maybe they did seek it out. But 1 in 5 youth experience unwanted online exposure to sexually explicit material.
Why? Oh, because a whole lot of females on there are all doing OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And so then you're seeing that.
There's that, but there's also these people who take advantage of the rules on social media and they'll post sexually
they'll post explicit breastfeeding content just so they can show their boobs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
super
messed.
There are people that bend the rules so that they can have this public content that'll drive them to more private content. And it's under the guise of something natural and beautiful like breastfeeding, but it's sexualized. And if you know, as an adult.
And they're using literal baby dolls. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen these, there's women using dolls and they're dressed sexually, all makeup done, they're getting their boobs out, and they're putting this fake baby and giving the camera a real sexual view and saying, go to my OnlyFans for more.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so that it slips is how, through.
Exactly. And that's how it's able to be left on things like Instagram.
Or girls doing yoga. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, I could go. And then it turns this whole thing turns into comparison, body comparison, all these things. Comparison, well, they're making all this money. Everybody's always trying to flex. So it's like this whole comparison trap that leads to the depression. Mm-hmm. There's nothing good out of it.
There's nothing good.
It's a spiral. You get to run into porn and self-harm and comparison and everything else until you're absolutely addicted to your phone.
And Kelly, pornography or addicted to
addicted
these
to all of it.
Yes.
You know? And Kelly will go pick up the kids from school, and there's several kids that will walk out of that school when the bell rings. They'll walk out of that school, and whether they're walking to their bus or they're walking 3 blocks home, the second they exit the door, they look down in their phone and they look up once at the crosswalk and they walk across and they go on down the street and then they look up real quick and they cross the street and they keep going and they're on their phone 24/7, mm-hmm. trapped in all of these things.
Yep.
Because why? Because they don't have regulation.
Because there's no regulation.
And you can't expect them to.
Exactly. You cannot expect a kid to self-regulate. You have got to set boundaries as a parent. That is your job. That is your duty.
Yes.
If you're going to hand your kid a smartphone, there has to be rules.
So maybe I am judging. Shit. I mean, you got to try. You get your responsibility as a parent, your responsibility for the next generation is to raise a good human. And if you are not regulating any of this, I don't know. That's a rough thing to say because it could get clipped and taken out of context, but I really don't give a shit. You have to give your best. You have parenting. Good parenting is hard work. Mm-hmm. And you need to be doing this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to be like us. Good parenting
is hard work. That should go on a sticker.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not saying you got to be like us and have a kid phone and everything else. And if your kid already has a phone, but this is your chance to hopefully this sparks you to like, you know what? I want to reel it in a little bit. We don't need Snapchat. Why does my 11-year-old need self-deleting pictures to send to other people?
Yeah.
And like this secret communication. What is the benefit? Like I always look at business, life, decisions. I tell the kids this all the time, and you do too. Everything in life you decide to do is upside versus downside. So giving your kid a phone and letting them have Snapchat. The upside is...
they can connect with their friends. Their friends are on Snapchat. I'm just thinking what they would say.
Yeah, and I could counter it with they're already seeing their friends at school. They don't need Snapchat to do that. Okay, but fair enough. They get to connect with their friends. What's the downside? They get lured and kidnapped and killed. They harm themselves because of the things they see. They feel like shit mentally because of what people are saying to them. They're bullied. Like the upside versus downside. What's the upside? Not much. What's the downside?
A lot.
Whole lot. Life.
Yeah.
All of it.
So here's another fact. In a study of adolescents aged 10 to 24, the death rate from suicide increased by 62% from 2007 to 2021. And it is no coincidence that these rates are parallel to the rise of social media.
No question.
Many of these kids are being cyberbullied online because it's often a lot easier for bullies to hide behind a screen to taunt their victims. Cyberbullying isn't just mean comments, though. It's also exclusion. It's creating group chats and leaving one person out. It's these like passive aggressive things that have a hurtful, long-lasting impact on these young brains. It's spreading rumors. It's impersonating someone, catfishing. It's threats. It's like violent threats.
It's all of the negative shit you can imagine of childhood rolled into the palm of their hand.
Yes, it's in their back pocket. And it's not just left at school. It follows them around constantly in their back pocket. More than one in two teen girls between ages 15 and 17 have experienced cyber harassment. Victims are four times more likely to report suicidal thoughts or attempts. Because of this, a broad U.S. surveillance report found that among high school students, frequent social media use, so several times a day, was associated with having seriously considered attempting suicide and having made a suicide plan. A systematic review found heavy social media / internet use among young people under 19 was independently associated with increased suicide attempts. Our kids are killing themselves, you guys. They're killing themselves.
Literally.
So what do we do? We've identified the problem. How do we work to fix it? Well, that is where the Uncool Collective comes in. My mission is to spread these messages far and wide at schools, churches, Capitol buildings, wherever I can find a microphone. I want to shout it from the rooftops that our kids need better regulation on their cell phones and that we as parents have to be more vigilant with their phone usage. Within the Uncool Collective, I'm starting a club. It's the Uncool Cool Moms Club, and it's going to be a community of moms choosing courage over conformity, and we are committing to keeping our kids off social media until at least 15, protecting their mental health, competence, and childhood in the process. And if you're wondering if there's an Uncool Cool Dads Club, I'm sure Austin can spearhead that, but the reality is the majority of people who listen to this podcast are women. I think it's in the upper 90 percentile. So that is who I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to my mom friends. I know I have a lot of you out there. So the Uncool Cool Moms Club believes that childhood should happen offline, in the real world, on playgrounds, not through a screen. Together, we are setting boundaries, we're having the hard conversations, and we are protecting our kids' developing minds from the pressures of social media until we believe they are emotionally ready. We're not here to follow trends, we're here to raise competent kids who don't need validation from strangers on the internet. And we will walk with each other in doing the hard, uncool thing, trusting that the long-term gains in self-worth, confidence, stability, and identity are worth the short-term resistance. So
with that being said, there's going to be a Facebook group that you can all join called the Uncool Cool Moms Club, and it will be where women can moms, because this is a mom thing, can hop in and say, this is going on. Can we talk about this? Anybody have advice for this? Hey, this is going on. And that's the start, the mm-hmm. foundation.
And the other way that you can join the club, if you're not on Facebook, you can, or if you also want to do this, you can go to mamamystery.com and click on the Uncool Collective button. When you reach that page, you will fill out your email address and your name, and that's it. That's all you have to do to join this club. But by doing this, you not only sign essentially like a petition, it's not really a petition, it's just kind of joining this group, this exclusive membership of likewise parents. And you'll get access to resources in the form of newsletters and infographics and instructional videos on how to navigate these apps that our kids are on, warning signs that you can look for if your kids are on these apps, if there's something within the app that is trending that you maybe need to know about.
Tips on how to put filters in place or run the apps better.
Exactly. And you'll also get access to eventually exclusive merchandise like t-shirts or bracelets, things that really spread this message. And my goal with that is that it creates a talking point so that you can continue to spread this message. If somebody says, oh, I like that sweatshirt. Oh, what is the Uncool Cool Moms Club? So I've been making these sweatshirts and I've just been wearing them myself just to kind of test and see how I like them. And I have gotten so many compliments on this one design in particular. So I'll probably share it on my Instagram after we post this episode. But it's just something that you can wear proudly that sends a message that you prefer peace and protection over public profiles and content.
And part of the reason for merch, I think, too, in order to build a brand that's going to be a movement and have an impact, those things take resources. Those mm-hmm. things take money. They take whatever else. And so it helps spread the word while also creating resources to be able to do things in the future to further the movement. Because the ultimate goal, I mean, Kelly talks about wanting to pass laws and stuff. I mean, get involved, you know, and big picture, this is a big thing that's going to take, you know, time to accomplish. You underestimate the things you accomplish in 10 years and you overestimate the things you accomplish in a year. Mm-hmm. But hopefully you guys are listening to the first episode of something that's cool and goes on for a long time and has a big impact on the most valuable thing of our whole entire world, which is the future generation.
And our children.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited to share this with you guys. It makes me feel like Mama Mystery is not just for like an entertainment, essentially, because that's all I'm really providing is like audio content. And I really wanted to do something that has purpose and that could impact our community in a positive way. And so that is what this is. I'm so excited about it. I think it has real legs and potential. So yeah, that's it. I hope you'll join our club. Everyone is welcome. Dads alike. I know there might be some dads listening, maybe with their wife. And listen, if you want to tell your kids that I am the reason, if you want to make me the bad guy and say like, I listened to this crazy lady talk about statistics, you can blame her. I will gladly wear that badge of honor that I am sharing this stuff and making you aware. And you know, it might piss off your kids, but it'll benefit them in the long run. And that is what this is all about.
Yeah. And since we're pretty open and just kind of like, I like that this is just like on the fly, raw thoughts about this. So I want to share this and that and how we've thought about this going forward. I think this thing would be awesome if, yes, it's the Uncool Cool Moms Club, the Uncool Collective, and it gets people off, kids off social media. That's the ultimate thing. But it excites me about like, let's make being uncool, meaning going against the grain, the cool thing. So when we were kids, it was the DARE program. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't want kids to do drugs and drink alcohol. And that's a dated thing, but it still has its impact. It still carries a message. You know, I think it'd be cool to have kids be uncool by I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids be uncool. Don't be afraid to be uncool. I just think there's something so cool about the Uncool Collective, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. To be independent thinkers and not feel like their identity depends on how other people perceive them.
Yeah.
I want it to be rooted in themselves and in their families and their confidence. Like ultimately that's what this all boils down to, is that we got to get families interacting again. We've got to get kids interacting with their parents and parents interacting with their kids, because too often there's a big disconnect and our kids are struggling. We see it. It's in the numbers. It's undeniable.
So we let it start with the moms making uncool cool. Mama, mystery.